Welcome back to Chai Chat. I'm your host, Nema, and I have been gone for a really long time. Let's get straight into it. So my drink for today is just some good old water. I'm trying to not drink as much coffee. So yeah, we're drinking a little bit more water. We're staying hydrated. I do want to say something that sounds a little bit cliche, which is that ever since I got my Stanley, I genuinely do drink more water. I don't know if it's because I don't have to screw off the cap of it or it's just bigger and it holds more water, but I've genuinely found myself drinking a lot more water. I'll be finishing like one or one and a half, sometimes even two of these a day, and I think they're around 40 ounces. So I'm getting my water in, I'm staying hydrated, which is so good because it also made me realize how little water I was drinking before. I was definitely not hydrated. So stay hydrated, girlies. Before I jump into today's episode, I feel like I do owe you guys some sort of recap on my life for the past, like, what? I don't even know how long it's been, but I do think there have been a couple of things going on that I can definitely share about. The biggest of those being that I'm at college now. I did graduate high school this spring, and I genuinely miss a lot of my teachers so much because I love them. College has been really good. It was definitely an adjustment that first fall quarter, but now that we're in winter quarter, I'm used to the campus, used to the pace of classes, and just settling in a lot easier. One thing that surprised me though is just how fast winter quarter was. The previous community college I was in had 16-week semesters, but at university now, I'm looking at around 10-week quarters. So it definitely goes by fast, and it does creep up on you if you don't stay on top of things, which I definitely struggle a little bit with fall quarter, but we're definitely getting better with time management. And speaking of time management, if you guys are not on Notion and Google Calendar, I really highly recommend you try it out. I know Notion, for me at least, was very intimidating because I know that you can do like coding and you can make it like really personalized to you and whatever you need from Notion. There are so many templates that you can find from YouTubers, and I actually found like a really cute like little Studio Ghibli themed one. I don't remember the YouTuber, but there's so many. You can like mix and match templates and customize it, and I just feel like Notion for me, actually, like, you can use it to organize your entire life, which I think I'll build up to that eventually, but right now I just use Google Calendar because it's easy to like block out time, or I use a physical planner. But Notion I primarily use to organize every single one of my classes assignments at the very beginning of the quarter. I did get this template from another YouTuber, but I customized it heavily to fit whatever my needs were, so I'll try linking that in the description. And I would just highly recommend, if you guys need help organizing your academic life, maybe it's your career, your personal life, I would highly recommend Notion. Once you get the hang of it, and that helps so much in organizing your life, because I'm currently using it and it tells me exactly what assignment I have, what class it's for, when it's due, and it just really helps you stay organized. And it also looks cute at the same time. So Notion, in conjunction with Google Calendar, has really helped me stay focused. And if you're open to it, the biggest piece of advice I can give is at least just try it out for a couple days. Notion definitely got me a little frustrated sometimes because it was hard to learn at first, but give it a couple days and it can work really great for you. Me going off on a little tangent, but going back to the focus, the reason why you're here, unless you just want to hear my voice, which that's great too, but the reason why you're here, my 2023 in books recap. And I will say that the reading pace for 2023 was definitely interesting because it was my senior year, so it looked very different that first semester versus the second semester, because I actually did do majority of my 2023 reading the summer between senior year and college. I read as much as I could without any academic pressure or stress, and it was genuinely so nice. I caught up on like a year of reading, but I was reading throughout the year, it was just a little bit lighter. But I'm really grateful that I've also had the opportunity to continue reading. I've read some really good books so far in 2024 as well, and I think I'll do something differently next year when I do this episode again, or in a couple months, whenever that is, where I'll probably split up the books between two episodes so I can go more in detail about them because they're fresher in my memory. But without further ado, let's get into my 2023 in books. I have one more thing to add before we get started, which is that I have seen this trend on TikTok where it's silent book reviews, And I absolutely love it. I've seen it being applied to makeup and other different kind of things, but I think the silent book reviews is so cool because you genuinely see people's crazy range of emotions for each book. I don't know. I just find them really funny. So now we're actually getting into the meat of this episode, which is my 2023 recap in books. Starting off strong, we have The Folk of Air series by Holly Black. So The Cruel Prince, The Queen of Nothing, and The Wicked King. And this is probably one of my all-time favorite books. And my sister knows this because she got me The Cruel Prince. And I'm actually not someone who like collects books, but I actually do want to have like some more physical copies of books. So my sister got me this book. I love it so, so much. But let me go ahead and read you guys the summary before I give you a little rundown of my thoughts on it. And just for a little bit of credit, every single one of these reviews is not my own. It's straight from Goodreads. So for The Cruel Prince by Holly Black, here's the summary. Jude was 7 when her parents were murdered, and she and her 2 sisters were stolen away to live in the treacherous High Court of Faerie. 10 years later, Jude wants nothing more than to belong there, despite her mortality. But many of the Fae despise humans, especially Prince Cardin, the youngest and wickedest son of the High King. To win a place at the court, she must defy him and face the consequences. As Jude becomes more deeply embroiled in palace intrigues and deceptions, she discovers her own capacity for trickery and bloodshed. But as betrayal threatens to drown the courts of Faerie in violence, Jude will need to risk her life in a dangerous alliance to save her sisters and Faerie itself. The stakes are high with this one, and I think one of the things I love about this series specifically is that, in my opinion, as you go through the books until you get to the 3rd one, the content, the plot, the character development just keeps getting better and better. So this is one of the series where I genuinely feel like the story and everything about it just improves as you get through the books. And it sets a high standard for the first book because The Cruel Prince is already so amazing and just keeps getting better from there. One of the things I really liked about this book is the mortal world, fairy world were very separated, but there were still characters that were constantly going in and out, streaming in between both of the worlds. Also, one of my all-time favorite books, I love it so much, and I have reread it once since I read it in 2023 at the beginning of this year. Before I forget, I actually totally forgot to say this, but I did read 27 books in 2023, and I started this, I think, in 2020 or 2021, but basically my goal for each year is to read the same amount of books that the year it is. So in 2020, I want to read like 20 books for the 20 part of 2020, versus like last year, I want to read 23 books for 2023. And then this year, the plan is to read 24 for 2024. But I did read 27 last year, and I think a lot of that came because the summer between my senior year and college, I read as much as I could, as often as I could. The next book is The Traitor's Kiss. And by the way, I'm going to put all the authors and the books in the description. So in case you don't catch it, but like you remember the summary, you can just look at it after. But here's a summary for this one. With a sharp tongue and an unruly temper, Sage Fowler is not what they'd call a lady, which is perfectly fine with her. Deemed unfit for marriage, Sage is apprenticed to a matchmaker and tasked with wrangling other young ladies to be married off for political alliances. She spies on the girls and on the soldiers escorting them. As the girls' military escort senses a political uprising, Sage is recruited by a handsome soldier to infiltrate the enemy ranks. The more she discovers as a spy, the less certain she becomes about whom to trust, and Sage becomes caught in a dangerous balancing act that will determine the fate of her kingdom. So another really high-stakes novel, guys. I have something really funny to say about this book where I am constantly rereading the first book at the library for some reason because this series has never had the 3rd book available in the trilogy, and I have probably reread this first book over the span of like 2 or 3 years, maybe like 3 times, because I always read the first book and I'm always waiting until I can find a copy of the 2nd or 3rd book. And I'm sure I can find it online, but I can never find the physical copy in my library. Unlike the Folk of Air series, this one I believe is 3 books, but unfortunately I've only read the first one. But going off of just that, and I'm hoping that all of your guys' libraries have the other copies of it, or you can find it, like you can borrow it online, but this book is so good. I cannot speak on the second and third book, but I actually, you know what? I'm going to make it my goal this year to skim over the first book, because at this point that is drilled into my mind because I've read it so many times, and find that second and third book and read it, because I know the series has potential and I'm so sad that I haven't read more of it. Highly recommend this one, because guys, like, we have a strong protagonist, we have a lot of deception, we have spies, there's like this whole political rivalry going on, so there's a lot going on in this story, and I think it's definitely very enjoyable. Completely forgot to rate, I believe, The Cruel Prince, but The Cruel Prince for me was a solid 10 out of 10, no questions asked. And I think this series is probably like a 9 out of 10. And the only reason I give it a star off is because I actually have no idea what the other two books are like, but based off of the first book alone, I would highly recommend. I really enjoyed it. Also realized that this episode is going to get extremely long if I go through all 27 books. So what I will do is go through my favorites that I would actually recommend to you guys, because not all of the books that I read were that great, actually. I think majority of them were, but there were definitely some books that I probably wouldn't read from that author again, or maybe just not, like, read that genre again. The next book that we have is the Smoke Thieves series by Sally Green. I don't know if that's what the series is actually called, but that's just what the first book is called, The Smoke Thieves. But here is the summary for that one. Going over the summary, and I realize a lot of them are very, like, high fantasy names that I can't pronounce right, so just forgive me for that, but here we go. A princess, a traitor, a hunter, and a thief. Four teenagers with the fate of the world in their hands. Four nations destined for conflict. End is cliffhanger. Okay, I actually don't know why it says that in the summary, but okay. Anyways, moving on. In Brigant, Princess Catherine prepares for a loveless political marriage arranged by her brutal and ambitious father. In Calidor, downtrodden servant March seeks revenge on the prince who betrayed his people. In Pretoria, feckless Etienne steals cheap baubles for cheaper thrills as he drifts from town to town. And in the barren northern territories, 13-year-old Tash is running for her life as she plays bait for the gruff demon hunter Gravel. As alliances shift and shatter and old certainties are overturned, our four heroes find their past lives transformed and their futures inextricably linked by the unpredictable tides of magic and war. Who will rise and who will fall and who will claim the ultimate prize? Okay, so this one was very action-packed. And I think one of my favorite things throughout this series and even in the first book itself is just the attention to detail in weaving all these characters' different storylines into one. Because they all definitely, as you probably understood from that summary, start from very different places, physically, emotionally, mentally, whatever it is, and they do go through these different transformations, and it's just really interesting to see how the author is able to take these people who are so different and be able to weave their stories together and kind of make them a team. And I think the different points of view, the different perspectives in the story was one of my favorite things about it, because I actually don't like novels that do a lot of shifting between perspectives, and I think that this author was really able to do that beautifully. And when I think authors are able to do that really great, it genuinely makes the story 10 times more interesting, because it's not that I'm skimming over someone's perspective, which I've seen from this from TikTok that actually a lot of people do this. I thought it was just me, but skipping over, like, quote unquote, like, the boring characters' point of view, but you find that they're all actually, like, equally interesting. And of course I still had my favorites, but they were all interesting. And I would rate this book probably a 7 or 8 out of 10. But my next book, guys, my next book I'm so excited about, because I got my little sister to start reading this book actually, and she ended up loving it. And I love this author so much, and I'm sure I have mentioned this in previous episodes, I love Katie Allender. Her books are so amazing. I started reading her in middle school and I'm still reading her. I love rereading her books, but this one is called Famous Last Words, and here's the summary. Willa is freaking out. It seems like she's seeing things, like a dead body in her swimming pool, frantic messages on her walls, a reflection that is not her own. It's almost as if someone or something is trying to send her a message. Meanwhile, a killer is stalking Los Angeles, a killer who reenacts famous movie murder scenes. Could Willa's strange visions have to do with these unsolved murders, or is she just going crazy? And who can she confide in? There's Marnie, her new friend, who may not totally be trustworthy. And there's Reed, who's ridiculously handsome and seems to get Willa. There's also Wyatt, who's super smart but unhealthily obsessed with the Hollywood killer. All Willa knows is she has to confront the possible ghost in her house, or she might just lose her mind. And then there's dot 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 for dramatic emphasis, or her life. And if you are interested in any sort of horror-ish, thriller, murder mystery, even paranormal stuff in any capacity, please check out Katie Allender. She is probably one of my favorite authors. I love all of her books. She has a series called Bad Girls Don't Die, but she has also a lot of standalone books similar to this one, and they're all good. So it's similar vibes, I guess, as One of Us is Lying, except these ones kind of involve like more ghosts and stuff. But this one is really good, highly recommend. And this one also has lots of plot twists, so if that's your thing, this is definitely your book. It's very fast-paced, it has a little sprinkle of romance, but it is genuinely such a well-written story. This is an easy 10 out of 10 for me. And that is actually a perfect transition, because I did not know that the next book is Nothing More to Tell by Karen M. McManus. So she's the one who wrote One of Us is Lying. This is a separate story from One of Us is Lying, but I'm assuming taking place in the same universe. I'm actually not going to read this entire summary because it is a little long, but here's the first and the last paragraph. 4 years ago, Bryn left St. Ambrose School following the shocking murder of her favorite teacher, a story that made headlines after the teacher's body was found by three St. Ambrose students in the woods behind their school. The case was never solved. Now that Bryn is moving home and starting her dream internship at a true crime show, she's determined to find out what really happened. 4 years ago, someone got away with murder. More terrifying is that they might be closer than anyone thinks. And of course, if you've read any book by Karen M. McManus, you know this woman knows how to write. She is genuinely such a great author, and I feel like all of her books, whatever is the conclusion, however she ties up all the loose ends or not, is always satisfying, and it's always well written. And her characters are always very well fleshed out, or they have some sort of character development. But her books are so fast-paced, so if you haven't read a book by her, you can always start off with One of Us is Lying, but she does have standalones and, you know, other series. And the thing about her books is that it's very easy to get into, but once you get into it, like, you will be pretty hard to put that book down, which is always a good thing. This book is one that I actually just found on a shelf in my library. It's not something that I was looking for, but I just picked it up because it looked good. It's called The Stranded, and here is the summary. Welcome to the Arcadia. Once a luxurious cruise ship, it became a refugee camp after being driven from Europe by an apocalyptic war. Now it floats near the coastline of the Federated States, a leftover piece of a fractured USA. For 40 years, residents of the Arcadia have been prohibited from making landfall. It is a world of extreme haves and have-nots, gangs, and makeshift shelters. Esther is a loyal citizen working flat out to have the rare chance to live a normal life as a medic on dry land. Nick is a rebel planning something big to liberate the Arcadia once and for all. When events throw them together, their lives and the lives of everyone on the ship will change forever. So I actually could be wrong, so let me Google it really quickly, but I think this one might have a sequel. I was right. So book two came out in 2023, but I actually really liked the first book, so maybe I'll check the sequel out. But this story again was really cool. I actually really like these dystopian kind of books. And I think there's a couple that I have read. One that's coming to mind, I might have talked about this in a previous episode about books, is called Dry by Neil Shusterman. And first of all, I think I like that book better than this one. So if you're going to choose between the two, I would check that one out. But it's, you know what, maybe I should read the summary because I genuinely think it's such a good book. So here is the summary. When the California drought escalates to catastrophic proportions, one teen is forced to make life and death decisions for her family in this harrowing story of survival. The drought, or the tap out as everyone calls it, has been going on for a while now. Everyone's lives have become an endless list of don'ts. Don't water the lawn, don't fill up your pool, don't take long showers, until the taps run dry. Suddenly, Alyssa's quiet suburban street spirals into a war zone of desperation. Neighbors and families turned against each other on the hunt for water. And when her parents don't return and her life and the life of her brother is threatened, Alyssa has to make impossible choices if she's going to survive. So I don't know if this sounds too dramatic saying it, but reading this book changed my perspective on life a little bit. And I would just recommend, I don't want to give too much away, but I would just recommend trying out this book. I think it's really good. If that summary sounded in any capacity interesting to you, check it out. Oh my gosh, this next one, guys. Some of you have probably read this if you've been reading YA books, if you've been with books for a while, but it is Six of Crows. It does not need an introduction, so here's the summary. Jam, a bustling hub of international trade where anything can be had for the right price. And no one knows that better than criminal prodigy Kaz Brekker. Kaz is offered a chance at a deadly heist that could make him rich beyond his wildest dreams, but he can't pull it off alone. A convict with a thirst for revenge, a sharpshooter who can't walk away from a wager, a runaway with a privileged past, a spy known as the Wraith, a heartrender using her magic to survive the slums, a thief with a gift for unlikely escapes. Six dangerous outcasts, one impossible heist. Kaz's crew is the only thing that might stand between the world and destruction if they don't kill each other first. So that was a good summary, guys, and it's an even better book. So the one thing I will say about this book is, for me personally, it took a really long time for me to get into it. And the reason is, the world building is solid, guys, but it is extremely, extremely heavy in the beginning. And I think that's one of the reasons why it took me a long time to get into the book. But once I think I got around 50% of the way, which it might be different for people, but this is what it was for me. It took about 50% of the book for me to understand what the characters were, what was going on in the plot. And once I understood these basic aspects of world building, because it is very heavy, there's a lot going on in this world, it was so much more enjoyable to read this book. So if you have not read it already, which it has been out for a while, so I don't know, maybe some of you guys have, but if you have not read it already, I would say still give it a chance, even if it seems heavy in the world building at first and it takes a while to get into, because all that is also setting the stage for the second book. So this is a duology. The second book is called Crooked Kingdom, and it was just as good, if not better. So highly recommend this series. So amazing. Solid 10 out of 10, definitely on my favorites bookshelf. Another thing I forgot to mention, but this book also does have alternating perspectives, which I love, actually. It was so amazing. All the characters I also love, and it is definitely one of those found family tropes. So I would highly recommend checking this one out. The next one is ACOTAR, A Court of Thorns and Roses by Sarah J. Maas. And I held off on reading this for a long time because I just didn't think I was interested in this genre of fantasy. I've read Throne of Glass in middle school, I believe, and I read like maybe the first three books. I don't actually think the entire series was out either then, but after reading, because I just could not get into it. And who knows, maybe I'll give it another chance, because I know a lot of ACOTAR girlies actually like Throne of Glass better. So maybe we'll give it a try another day, but ACOTAR I actually really liked. I read the entire series, and I think I skimmed through the last one because it was from Nesta's point of view, and I don't like her as a character, which I know people are really split on that, but I just cannot get over the things that she did to Farah. But if you don't know what I'm talking about at all, let me give you a summary to give you some. When 19-year-old Huntress Farah kills a wolf in the woods, a terrifying creature arrives to demand retribution. Dragged to a treacherous magical land she knows about only from legends, Farah discovers that her captor is not truly a beast, but one of the lethal immortal fairies who once ruled her world. This book is a lot more than just that little excerpt from the summary, but it's definitely a good one. I think this series is another one of those series where with each book, except the last one, because I don't really like the last one, it gets better. The world building is better. We get to know more characters. And the characters that we know from the first book, we get to see them have this character arc. So it's definitely a really good book. I would highly recommend. I know there's a lot of opinions on it, but I think you should at least give the first book a try. I personally think that it gets a lot better in the second and third book, but the first book was really good too. And one of my all-time favorite series is Warcross by Mary Lou. And here's the summary for that. For the millions who log in every day, Warcross isn't just a game. It's a way of life. The obsession started 10 years ago, and its fan base now spans the globe, some eager to escape from reality and others hoping to make a profit. Struggling to make ends meet, teenager hacker Emeka Chen works as a bounty hunter, tracking down players who bet on the game illegally. But the bounty hunting world is a competitive one, and survival has not been easy. Needing to make some quick cash, Emeka takes a risk and hacks into the opening game of the International Warcross Championships, only to accidentally glitch herself into the action and become an overnight sensation. Convinced she's going to be arrested, Emeka is shocked when she instead gets a call from the game's creator, the elusive young billionaire Hideo Tanaka, with an irresistible offer. He needs a spy on the inside of this year's tournament in order to uncover a security problem, and he wants Emeka for the job. With no time to lose, Emeka is whisked off to Tokyo and thrust into a world of fame and fortune that she's only dreamed of. But soon her investigation uncovers a sinister plot with major consequences for the entire Warcross Empire. Wow. So this one is definitely sci-fi fantasy with a bit of like a romance subplot. And another solid 10 out of 10, guys. I love this series. This is a duology. And honestly, I read this in middle school, but it is still probably one of my favorite ones. I have reread it many, many times since. And the series really does transport you to a different world. And it's just such a great series. I can't recommend this one enough. I think it's like the perfect balance of sci-fi, but having lots of action. It's like a mystery as well. So it has like some of the best aspects of books that I love all pushed into one, but it's still so original. So highly recommend. Next one is The Inheritance Games by Jennifer Lynn Barnes. And I do think this one went viral on TikTok, and I read it a little bit that, but still in 2023, obviously. And this is a series that is just so good. Love the entire series, start to finish. And I don't want to go through it because actually I think that the summary like doesn't tell you much actually. But essentially this girl inherits the entire fortune of this really wealthy man, and she's asked to live in the Hawthorne house in order to have access to that inheritance. And there's the Hawthorne boys, which are like four boys there. And there is a love triangle, but more importantly than the love triangle is the mystery in this novel, in that every single thing said or done is like a clue or hint. And I don't know, I genuinely am so impressed and in awe of authors who are able to do clues like that. Like, they have clues from the very beginning of the novel. Like, everything is a hint, everything is a clue that contributes somehow to solving the mystery. And obviously, like, there's a different thing. There's like new mysteries in every book, but it's all connected, like interconnected in this series. And I really love this series. I think if you're on TikTok, on BookTok, specifically, you've probably heard of The Inheritance Games. And if you have not already read it, highly recommend. I actually recommended this one to my little sister as well, and she sped through it, loved it. So this one is so good. Lots of riddles, lots of puzzles. She has to deal with essentially becoming like a celebrity overnight as well. There is just a lot going on in this story, but it is so good. And if you love mystery and a little bit of thriller, actually it's mostly mystery, but other than that, if you like some of the other books that I already recommended that are mystery related, this is the book for you. Loved it so much, and I probably will reread it this year or next year because it was that good. And the last book I have to share with you guys is actually another series. This is a trilogy. And first of all, as a little precursor to this, if you guys have not read The Lunar Chronicles by Marissa Meyer, it has been out for years and you need to get on it because it is one of the best series in the world, okay? And if you don't already know about it, to put it plainly, it's essentially like fairy tales turned into like sci-fi stories and twisted a little bit, but best series ever. And so this series called Renegades is by the same author, except instead of leaning into like the fairy tale and fantasy aspect, it is still fantasy, but this is more superheroes in a modern world. So here's the summary. The Renegades are a syndicate of prodigies, humans with extraordinary abilities who emerged from the ruins of a crumbled society and established peace and order where chaos reigned. As champions of justice, they remain a symbol of hope and courage to everyone, except the villains they once overthrew. Nova has a reason to hate the Renegades, and she is on a mission for vengeance. As she gets closer to her target, she meets Adrian, a renegade boy who believes in justice and in Nova, but Nova's allegiance is to a villain who has the power to end them both. Series, can I just start by saying that? Solid 10 out of 10. Also, the Lunar Chronicles, I'm going to say it again because that is literally one of my all-time favorite series. You guys have to give it a chance. And because I'm scared you guys won't, I'm going to read you the summary right now and come back to Renegades. That doesn't make sense. We're going to go with, we're going to finish Renegades first. But Renegades, guys, this series is really good. And I actually have reread it more than once because it is that good. So 2023 was my reread of the series. But such an amazing series because they are enemies, Nova and Adrian, and I don't actually want to give too much away. I feel like that summary was good and that it was vague enough. And I'm not going to say anything more. But you guys need to try this series out. I never thought I was going to be the kind of person that enjoyed like the superhero aspect in novels. I've never actually read a novel like that before. But I ended up really, really liking this series. And like solid 10 out of 10. All the characters are great. There's good and evil. But there's also the in-between space, which is so nice to see. And I think this novel does that really beautifully. But moving on to the Lunar Chronicles, because I don't know why I haven't talked about this before, but the Lunar Chronicles, I believe, is 4 books, and each book is kind of like a retelling of a princess, but, and that might steer some people away right off the bat, but it's really not a retelling. I think it does take aspects from the original fairy tale, but it's so different and so cool and so sci-fi. There's dystopian aspects, like, it's just really cool. But the first book is called Cinder, and it's basically, as you could probably guess, like based on Cinderella, but different. And here's the summary. Humans and androids crowd the raucous streets of New Beijing. A deadly plague ravages the population. From space, a ruthless lunar people watch, waiting to make their move. No one knows the Earth's fate hinges on one girl. Cinder, a gifted mechanic, is a cyborg. She's a second-class citizen with a mysterious past. Reviled by her stepmother and blamed for her stepsister's illness. Life becomes intertwined with the handsome Prince Kai's. She suddenly finds herself at the center of an intergalactic struggle and a forbidden attraction. Caught between duty and freedom, loyalty and betrayal, she must uncover secrets about her past in order to protect her world's future. Doesn't that sound amazing? Like, doesn't that just sound so cool? Because when I read this summary, actually, yeah, I think I probably read the summary first. My older sister recommended this to me like when I was in middle school, which is when I read it. And first of all, the cover is so cool because in case you have not seen Cinder's cover, the original cover, I think they have new ones now. It's this girl, Cinder's foot in this red heel, except her skin is a little translucent so you can see that she's a cyborg because you see like the metal. That actually sounds really gruesome, but I promise it's not. Like the metal just looks like bones that... Yeah, that actually still sounds a little gruesome, but look up the cover. It's not weird, guys. It actually looks really cool. But this is such an amazing fantasy YA novel. It does have science fiction, of course. It's dystopian. It's like kind of a retelling of Cinderella, as you can probably understand from that summary. But such a good series because every novel just keeps getting better and better. I still say I think Cinder is one of my favorite characters, but there's a lot of main characters. Oh my gosh, actually Cinder is not my favorite character. The character is Thorn, and he comes in one of the later books, but if you've read Percy Jackson, he gives the same vibes as Leo Fal does. But anyways, this series is so good. You will get obsessed with it, as you can probably hear, I'm very passionate about it. I love this series, but just give it a try. Just try reading Cinder, and it's such a good book. Like, it is genuinely such a good book, such a good balance between, like, the dystopian aspects. There's sci-fi involved in it. Fantasy, there's like a power struggle, and some later books there's like enemies to lovers, friends to lovers, forbidden romances because she's a cyborg and he's a prince. But there's just so much going on in this novel, and it's so much more than just like a retelling. So highly recommend. This is probably like one of my all-time favorite books. That was the last book that I had to share with you guys, so I really do hope that if anything you enjoy just listening to me like drone on for like what it's probably been like 30 minutes now. And at best, I hope that some of these books sparked your interest, and if you do end up reading them and loving them, please DM me or tell me. I would to just hear your thoughts on the different books, as it's probably coming out from a little bit of my passion. Some of my really favorite books are in this list, whether it was a rereading or my first time reading them. But there's a lot of variety, so I hope regardless of what kind of books you're into, you'll probably find something you're interested in this list. That's all I have for today, so I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up. And thank you guys for joining me on this probably 35 minute now little journey where I just talked about books for a while. But I hope you guys enjoyed the episode, and I will see you in the next one.